Welcome to the My Money, My Lifestyle podcast with me, Maya Fisher-French.
And with me, Mapalo Maku.
Each week, we'll be discussing the stories we're working on and which you can read more about in the City Press. So, you know, once a month in City Press, we have something called the Reader's Page or Reader's Right. And that's when we take all those questions that we get from readers and we try and answer them. And Mapalo, this week was quite amazing, this whole month. I had so many questions relating to retirement. And it was things like, how much money do I save if I put my money into an RA? And then how much tax do I pay if I take my money out? And should I use my pension to settle my debt? So I thought for today, we just talk about your retirement and tax and all that stuff. How about that?
Awesome. Yes. That's very interesting, Maya, because, you know, throughout this journey with you, writing for you for City Press, you get the same questions around retirement annuities, right?
Absolutely. It's like we can't write enough about them.
No, we can never. We can never. So definitely there's so much more for us to do. But Pindile asks, if she were to put away 5,000 per month into a retirement annuity, how much would she save in terms of SARS? So she wants to be savvy and put money into a retirement annuity. So she just wants to find out how much of that will save her on her tax bill.
You know, I think that's such an important question. It's a big driver of why people actually contribute to retirement, right? I want to save tax. So, of course, the answer really does depend on your tax rate, because the higher your tax rate, the more tax you save. So it is a little bit of a function of knowing the tax rate. But what I did is I just took, for an example, she said, I want to do 5,000 a month, so 60,000 a year. And I took two scenarios, one where her taxable income is 300,000 and one where she's 600,000. So I don't know what she earns. But what it does, and this is very important to understand, is it reduces your taxable income. So say, for example, your taxable income is 300,000, you would pay just over 48,000 Rand in tax that year. If you do a deduction from a retirement annuity of 60,000 Rand, you reduce your taxable income to 240,000, you pay just over 32,000 Rand in tax. So you're saving about 15,600 Rand a month in tax. I mean, not a month, sorry. 15,600 Rand for the year, would be nice if it was per month, for that year. So if you think about it, if you're making, you're contributing 5,000 Rand a month, that's effectively 3 months of contribution that gets paid by the tax man. And that's where it becomes so powerful. And the more you earn, so if she was earning 600,000 a year and making that same 60,000, her tax saving works out at 22,000, nearly 23,000 Rand, which is what, about five or nearly 5 months of contributions. So it is very powerful. But I think, Mapalo, your article was very important, which is also in City Press, which is what to do with your tax rebate, because part of how you make that tax savings isn't that, you know, it's only at the end of the year when you get back your tax refund that you're actually getting that tax back. So your 15,600 in this case, you'd be getting back at the end of the year or in after tax season, like now. So what you need to be doing then is putting that money back into your retirement annuity in order to get those contributions. Does that make sense? So for you to get those extra 3 months of contributions from the tax man, you have to put them back into your retirement annuity. If you just go and spend it, then you're not really benefiting. Well, you are, I suppose, because you're getting some money back to spend, but you know, the real goal here is to build your retirement.
Let people have some fun. So
you know what? I remember my first big tax refund, I went and I blew on a holiday. I have confidence.
Of course. I did. Same here.
You know but what? The you sensible know? Thing to do, people, is not to do that. And it's to take, especially any tax refund that relates to your pension fund, because that's actually what it's there for. So you should, go and put it back into your...
Top up your retirement annuity. And it does make a big difference. You know, we always talk about just how so few people are able to retire and retire comfortably. So just putting it back makes sure that, you know, at least we can be one of those people who do retire comfortably in the long run.
Well, you know, one of the questions we had this week broke my heart. It just broke my heart. It was a woman wrote in saying, I just don't have enough money. And so she has a living annuity. Did you read that one?
Yes, I saw that one.
She has a living annuity, and which we can explain what that is. But basically, she's been drawing down too much money every year. And every year, as a result, her income is reducing. And she just said, I'm about to lose my home. And she's got absolutely nothing she can do about it. Because the bottom line is, if you start with not enough money, it gets really, really hard to survive. So, you know, when we joke about don't go on holiday with your tax refund, you know, go chat to this woman.
That's the reality.
What would she tell her younger self, that person who spent the money on a holiday? She's going to say, I'm in my late 60s and I actually don't know how I'm going to survive. And that is very sad.
And you know, Maya, it's such a heartbreaking story, because I think we fall into that trap. All of us fall into a trap of saying, you know what? No, I will catch up at some point. You know, I want to live my best life right now. I will catch up. And I mean, even you know, the survey that was done by Old Mutual, remember the one that came out just a couple of weeks ago, they showed that almost 51% of retirees still have your credit card. You know, they're still paying off stuff at that age.
And you know, also scary, I think it was the stat from there, I don't have it in front of me, it was something like the average retiree only receives about 30% of their income they require from their retirement. So they're having to fund the other 70% somehow.
70%. How do they do that?
Exactly. And it comes down to making the right choices with your tax rebate. But it is, and it is hard. And I mean, I think that also, you know, it also talks to Vincent, who wrote to us as well. Another of the letters we got, wanting to cash in before retirement.
He said he was 51, right? He's 51. And he currently earns 480,000 and he has about 3.2 million in his pension fund. So tell us, Maya, how much in tax will he pay if he does cash it in?
You're not going to believe it. I did the numbers. So he's got 3.2 million, which he thinks is a fortune of money, right? He is going to pay R1 million in tax.
Sure.
R1 million. There is no investment. R1 million. How hard? That is 2 years of his salary, more than 2 years before tax of his salary, gone to the tax
just
man.
Just like that.
Yeah. So remember all those tax breaks we spoke about just now with your retirement annuity? Well, guess what? SARS wants it back if you cash in before retirement. That's how it works, guys. Yes. The tax break that they give you when you put your money in, they want back. And do they get it back with interest. So I tell you, this would have to be the worst investment decision of his life, is to cash it in at 51, reduce his retirement benefit from 3.2 million to 2.2 million for nothing. Just hand it over.
That's a lot of money, Maya. That really is a
lot of money. So it's really...
And what would you rather advise him then? So let's say he wants to leave his employer for whatever reason, right? He doesn't want to work there anymore. Now, what should he do with the pension fund?
So I was, you know, from his letter, he said, where do I invest it to generate an income? Which concerns me a little bit, because it kind of suggests to me that he thinks he's not going to earn an income when he leaves. So, and I think that that's also a big disconnect. People look at 3 million and they think it's a lot of money. Let me tell you, even 3 million, so even if he doesn't pay the tax, even 3 million will probably only give you about 15,000 a month in income. So that's way short of what he's currently living on. And people have a big disconnect about this big lump sum and what it can actually generate you as a sustainable income, that you don't land up like our other reader, you know, who's running out of money in retirement. So you can only really draw down at most 5%. Some people say 4, let's be kind, 5% of your capital. And if you look at it from his perspective, you know, that it, even if he had that full amount of money, he'd get about 160,000 a year. And he's currently earning 480,000. So at least I think there's a bit of disconnect in his mind about what he's going to do with this money. But say, for example, he was just resigning because he had another job, and he had other income or another way to make income. Then the best thing to do is preserve it. So we've got something called a preservation funds. In his particular case, I didn't mention it in the article because I wanted to be wider, but he actually is GPF, so he's government. So government, you can't leave the money with government, but most of the private pensions, so if you work for a corporate or anything like that, you can leave the money. You can actually leave the money with them and keep it preserved within the existing pension fund that you're already with, which is quite a nice cost-effective solution. You just leave the money there. So say you work for ABC Industry. You go back to ABC Industry at the age of 55 or 60 when you're ready to retire and you say, I'll have that money now. So you can do that. No fuss, no hassle, no costs, no financial advice. A really simple solution. In his case, he would have to take out a new product, which is called a preservation fund. So it's either a pension or provident preservation fund, and he'd have to transfer his money in there. And generally speaking, you'd need to get some advice around that, and there'd be fees in that. Yeah, but that is really, there will be. And then, you know, if he just waited, again, I really think this guy needs to keep his money invested for just much longer. But if he insisted at 55 that he wanted to retire, he can then actually retire from the preservation fund, and he'll get the first 500,000 rand tax free. So it does make the tax a little bit better. But again, not really a good idea even then to take the full amount, because there's still a lot of tax to pay.
Yeah. You know what, Maya, just a funny story, right? So I was doing a coaching session, and this lady was telling me that she had received some money. I think it was just over 1.1 million. And she says, you know, as she phoned her mom because she could not comprehend just how many zeros was in her bank account. And so for me, it really just talks to that whole thing where you say, you know what, someone sees 3.2 million and they think, my goodness, I have so much money. I can do everything I've ever wanted to do under the sun. So really there is that disconnect of realizing that, you know what, over the long term, 20, 30 years, that money is very, very little.
It really is, because it's got to generate you an income. And it's one of the reasons we see lotto winners running out of money so quickly. Because there's no concept about what a lump sum actually means over time. So they just blow it. And then suddenly they realize that it actually doesn't go as far as you realize.
As you thought, yeah. And Maya, another reader said they want to find out, you know, what they always say, I want to take my money, pay off my debt, start on a clean slate.
Yeah, we love those ones. So I get, this is probably my most common question, and it's most common at the age of around 30. 30 to 35, you change, you move your first jobs. And so maybe you've got 100,000 saved up by now. And so you think, you know what, let me take that 100,000, let me settle all my credit card debts, all of this, and just start again. It's just, I'll wake up tomorrow morning liberated, right? So I actually did the maths, and I had a look, and I said, what people forget, and yes, logically it makes sense. I've got credit card debt at 25%. Maybe over the long term, my pension's going to do 10%. I'm better off paying off the debt, right?
Off the debt now, yes.
But what you're completely forgetting about is compounding. You know that money grows on money grows on money. So if you've got 100,000 and you've invested it and it's getting 10%, I'm just using that as an example, it basically doubles every 7 years. So that means in 7 years' time, it's not 100,000 that he's cashed in, it's actually 200. Then in 15 years' time, it's 400,000. And, you know, in 21 years' time, it's 800,000. And in 28 years' time, by the time he's 58, that now becomes 1.6 million.
Jeez.
So actually, cashing in your 100,000 and settling your debt is actually cost you 1.6 million in your final retirement benefit.
So it's not just the 100,000, it's that compounded over time. You have lost a lot.
Lost that compounding effect, because the longer you can leave your money invested, the longer it has time to grow. So what I worked out that if he kind of committed and said, right, I'm going to settle this debt, I'm going to put an extra, I'm going to put 2,900 rand a month towards it, and I'm going to pay it off over the next 5 years. Okay. So let's say I actually just do a plan. I don't touch my pension. I come up with a proper plan. I do a proper budget and I tackle this debt within 5 years, and I take 5 years to pay it off. Then over 5 years, he would have spent 174,000 rand to settle the 100,000 rand debt, which is, it's 74,000 rand in interest, but it's a hell of a lot less than 1.6 million.
That's a big difference.
And I think also what I've seen so often is I often see people later on in their 40s or whatever who did exactly that in their 30s. And you know what they all tell me? They tell me they took their pension, they settled their debt, and 5 years later, back in debt. Why? Because they didn't learn anything. Because they're just waiting for the next windfall. So you know what they do when they're 40? They cash in again. And they keep cashing in, which is why you land up like our one reader, Janine, with no money in retirement. So it's this belief of tapping in, oh, you know what? I'll just do it once. Okay, I haven't learned. I've done it again because I haven't learned to live on my budget. I haven't learned to manage my money. So when I move jobs again, when I'm 40, I'll just repeat the exercise.
Yeah, I know I have a solution. That's always my solution.
It's always my solution. And then when it's too late, when you are now 65 and you actually don't know how to make ends meet, you can't climb in a time capsule and go back to 30. And that, you know, if we can just get that idea through, that your pension fund is not a debt. You don't use it to plug a debt hole. It is not there for debts. It is there for you when you are 65, 55, 65, 75, 85, maybe 100. You know, if you don't.
Oh, goodness.
Well, let's say that we're going to live to 100 now. This is terrifying. It's quite interesting because a lot of people say to me, especially the government employees, they say, oh, because government forces you to buy an income. You know, you don't get it. You don't get the full lump sum. And then you have to buy an income. And people say, yeah, but I want to leave money for my children because I'm going to die soon. Let me tell you, the average age of the GPF, the Government Employee Pension Fund, is 89.
What?
89 years old.
That is almost 90.
Yes. You're going to die soon because the average is likely that you're not. So, I mean, they're looking at massive longevity building up there. So it's, you know, this idea that, you know, you're going to die at the age of 70 is just not true. So, and how are you going to live in all those years if you're worrying about leaving money for your kids? Your kids are worrying about funding you, you know?
Yes. And I mean, Maya, you know, without even getting into living and life annuities, for me, that's one of the dangers I've seen with living annuities, that, you know, you want that flexibility of putting your beneficiaries, leaving money for your family or your children, right? But people quickly run out of money in living annuities, especially if your withdrawal rate is so much higher. You know, you can withdraw up to 17.5%. I find sometimes people will say, no, my mom is taking 10% of her living annuity, which is a lot.
Yeah, and this is exactly why this poor woman who wrote us is running out. So just to explain to listeners the difference. So you, when you retire, you've got an option to put your money to buy a guaranteed annuity. So that is, you're going to get this amount of money for the rest of your life, increasing with inflation.
Yes.
But if you die after 5 years, you lose that money. Okay, it goes. You can leave a pension to your spouse, but not your kids. So look, for a lot of people, they're saying, well, you know, I see this as part of the legacy I'm going to leave my children. So they don't want to do that. They don't want to buy that guaranteed annuity. And of course, the guaranteed annuity works on insurance. So they calculate the likelihood of you living a certain age, and then that somebody may die before you. And if you live longer, you actually supplemented by effect. There's a cross subsidy of people who live longer than people who die earlier. So that's how insurance works. But it does guarantee you, you know, that if you live till 100, you will still be getting that income growing at inflation. But what people do for that exact reason, there's two reasons people take living annuities. So living annuities, you invest it in a portfolio, in investment, and you can then draw down between 2.5% of the capital to 17.5% of the capital. And people do it for two reasons. One is that legacy issue. I want to be able to leave money for my kids. Okay, the reality, unless you're very rich and you've got a lot of money in that living annuity, it's probably not going to be money left for your kids anyway. And B is a lot of people want to draw too much off it. So if you had to do a comparison, you're probably getting about 5-6%, maybe a little bit higher with the guaranteed annuity, maybe 6%. So people say, if I'm going to getting 6% from the living annuity, from the life guaranteed annuity, it's not enough. I'll go for the living annuity, draw down 10%. And there's just no way. If you're drawing down 10%, it won't last. And in fact, in this scenario, she was drawing maximum 17.5%. And I just did a little illustration for her, which showed you. So say you had R1 million, and the R1 million grew by 10%, a market return of 10%, you'd have 1.1 million. But if you draw down 17.5%, you actually draw an income of R192,000 for that year. That reduces your capital to 807,000 already. In your first, you know, within your first year, you've already dropped your capital from R1 million down to 800,000. And then it grows by 10% again, but it's only growing by 10% off 800,000. So it grows up to 890,000 to round off. So now your 17.5% is applied to that, which means you're now only getting R155,000 of income. So I was explaining to you that even by year two, your income has dropped. You've gone from 192,000 a year to 155,000, and that just keeps happening. And it just, your drawdown rates, very, very quickly, you actually run out of money. So you really have to be very careful. If you select that kind of investment, you only select it if you can afford to either live off, you know, only draw down 5%, or you come to an arrangement with your kids, the opposite arrangement of what you're hoping for. You say to them, I can't afford my retirement, I will draw down on my living annuity or whatever for the next 5 years. And then you have to look after.
You have to take care of me.
You've got to have those discussions. If you are short of money, and Mapula, I think it's actually quite an interesting one. If you are listening to this and you are either someone in that situation or your parents, you worry about your parents, have that conversation at retirement. Because if my mom had to come to me and say, Maya, I don't have enough. I've sat down with my advisor. We've worked it out. I can't survive on my monthly amount. It would be better for me to start supplementing immediately rather than her drawing down aggressively, because that allows at least some of the money to keep growing in the portfolio. As a child, you may want to say, look, you know, not wait till you've got no money left, because then that starts getting really difficult to keep. Say, look, I'll supplement by a couple of thousand every month so that you don't have to draw down quite so much. The money can last longer. So these are, these are important conversations. You actually at retirement have to sit down and face reality. What have I got? Yeah. Do I have enough? And if I don't have enough, what am I going to do about it? Sticking your head in the sand and drawing down maximum, not
going to help. And you know, Maya, for me, you know, I get just like you, I'm sure you get quite a lot of messages, you know, people asking you for different type of tips and advice, right? And one guy sent me a message and said, you know what, Mapalo, my uncle is about to retire. I think he also works for the government, but he does have a retirement annuity, and he wants to cash out all of his retirement annuity. So for me, I just still feel like, you know, we still don't understand the products that we have. We still don't understand, you know, retirement annuities, pension and provident funds. And so if you're a young person listening to this and you do have family who are working and, you know, you can see that they're getting older, closer to retirement, start having these conversations with them just to make them aware of what to expect when they do retire.
Yeah, especially that. I mean, you can't cash in a retirement annuity. You can't.
I told him. I said, you know what? There's no way that he can.
And then they get angry. And then they want to complain. And they complain to the company. And they complain to the advisor. But the reality is the law will not allow you to take, two-thirds of it. You have to turn into an income. So you can take a third, but that's it. So again, if that was your financial plan, that, you know, you're making an error in your assumptions. So I agree. It's so important to have these conversations, at least even 5 years before your parents are retiring. Sit down with them. You know what? Unlike all the parents who think they want to leave their kids a legacy, that the only legacy most parents are leaving their kids is debt, right? Or support, having to support them. So to be proactive, sit down with your parents and say, listen, I realize I'm in for money at some point. How much? Let's have this discussion sooner rather than later.
Oh, well, Maya. And okay, so I wrote a piece on how to spend your tax refund. So number one, for sure, put it back, top up your retirement annuity. What about paying off your debts, Maya? So what if you do have some debts and you do have a bit of a tax refund, let's say 30,000-40,000 or even more? Is it advisable then to pay off some debts with that, Maya?
Okay, so one woman on Twitter told me she's just bought herself a couch. So I said, enjoy the couch. But yeah, so I think it does depend. So certainly, you know, if it is a rebate from your RA, you know, really try and put it back into the RA. But it is a big debt, an opportunity to really pay down some debt. So if you have a debt payment plan, which you must have, you can really accelerate that with that rebate. So I think definitely that is an option. And then if you have no debt and you don't have a retirement annuity, then you can throw that into your tax-free savings account up to 33,000. So I think, I was saying that this morning, I was on ENCA this morning, I said, just get saving. Let's get this country saving instead of just borrowing. So, use that opportunity. But it is, I mean, if you are sitting there struggling, you're not sure how you're going to pay off your credit card and that, then obviously this is an opportunity to do it. But Mapalo, stop spending on your credit card. It doesn't help if next year you're using the freaking rebate again to pay off your credit card. You haven't learned anything.
But you know, that's the whole point, Maya, especially, you know, when it comes to cashing in your pension or provident fund or, you know, any investments for that matter, is that, you know, we are not learning anything about our habits or our attitude towards money. I think a lot more could be solved in trying to come up with really good financial habits instead of just, you know, waiting for a windfall all the time.
Absolutely. Don't complain. You know, take action. Find out why. Do something. Be proactive. So that's a wrap for today. If our listeners would like to learn more about these or any money-related topics, they can go to the City Press website or to your website,
womanandfinance.co.za,
or my website, mayaonmoney.co.za.
And if you have any questions or comments, you can send us a WhatsApp voice note to 064-554-3959. And we look forward to hearing from you.
Because we want to know what it is that you want to know. You've been listening to the My Money, My Lifestyle podcast, featuring the contributors of the City Press Personal Finance Pages.